Ananian.
Okay, I put the plow truck with the plow inside the shop, figuring, okay, I'll just come out and push the snow. How hard could that be? Big Chevy 3/4 ton pickup. I only got stuck twice in my own parking lot trying to push snow, which is very, very frustrating.
The car doctor got his truck stuck.
Did you get your truck stuck? And God bless this trucker without missing a beat. He goes, nope, I was delivering that overpass. I ran out of gas.
The car doctor.
Are you mentally ready to drive a vehicle at night, hands off, eyes on the road, watching things go by? Are you ready for that?
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, you know, I think to myself every time I start this show, and thanks for stopping by this hour, you know, what's new? What can I explain? What can I talk about that's going to be of interest to anybody? And I have to admit that, you know, one of the things I have to learn how to do better, and I think I've been talking about this lately, is I've got to simplify the process, right? I've got to sort of make this come down a level to the point of understanding, because it smacked me right between the eyes again this week, this idea in my head that, I don't know, I understand it, doesn't everybody? You know, I just come from a different angle. I had a phone call at the shop, a youngster, everybody's a youngster to me nowadays, and he couldn't have been more than 18 or 19, and he's calling me up because his car's in the driveway and he's got a flat. And he didn't have a clue how to change a flat tire. And I got the car down to the shop and, you know, then I kind of walked him through it. Here's how you do it. I showed him where the jack was and, you know, I did a little above and beyond. I took a half hour and we kind of had, you know, how to jack up a car and change a flat tire in 30 minutes or less. And he was so grateful. You know, and I think that's something we as elders need to look at and talk to the kids about, that we don't teach them how to basics, right? Like, I don't think I could have dated my wife, then girlfriend at the time, if her father thought I couldn't change a flat tire, because, you know, if you can't do the simple things, you can't take care of the, so I've got to kind of find a way to detune this, if this rambling makes any sense to any of y'all, we got to get back to basics, because cars are just getting way too complicated. And we've got to be able to do some of the basic things ourselves. I think it would help us and educate us and help us feel better overall. So just my two cents. I'd love to hear your comments and thoughts on it as well. Let's go over to Bruce in California. Let's kick the garage doors open. 05 Chevy Tahoe and some cooling system issues. Bruce, welcome aboard, sir. How can I help?
Yeah. Hey, Ron. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Then we're good. Oh,
fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I listen to you on the podcast every week.
Cool beans.
And by the way, you asked for your comments, for our comments. I learned about working on cars from my dad when I was little. I'm about your age, to give you an idea when that was.
Yeah.
And I learned how to do brake jobs and just all kinds of simple stuff.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore, right? We don't. I had a youngster come in this week. He was... he's going to be my new credit card provider for the shop and service provider. And he's telling me how he's just fascinated by cars. He's 31. Stevie is. And he just wishes he had listened more to his dad growing up, because his dad was always working on cars. And he says he just feels like, in his words, Steve says, I feel like a klutz around the house. He says, I can't work on cars. He says, but I can't do much of anything else either. And, there's a sense of confidence that working on cars helps create, whether you're a mechanic or not. Anyway, how can I help you today, Bruce?
Yeah. So, on the 05 Tahoe here, it's got the 4.8 liter. I'm calling about the cooling system. I recently was forced to do a water pump job on it, which, you know what that means. It just went out all of a sudden.
Yep.
And anyway, that all went really good. I got the part from your sponsor, or one of your sponsors, O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, sure.
All
yep.
went really, yeah, yeah, went really smooth, really good parts. Been on there 3 months now. The reason I'm calling is because I'm not really 100% certain that I bled the system. I purged all the air out of it adequately. I don't have the fancy machine like the shops have. So I did it by the book, but the book talks about lead screws. And I've looked and looked. I cannot find any bleed screws on here.
I don't, and I think that's because I don't believe there are any, Bruce. I don't think there are any bleed screws on that. If you look at the front of that engine underneath the throttle body, there should be an air bleed pipe. There should be a thin pipe going from one side of the cylinder head area to the other, just under the intake, just under the throttle body. Yeah. And then it's going to have a rubber hose that comes up to the throttle body. That's the air bleed.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I think that keeps the valve body from icing up.
Right. Right. But that's also considered the bleed. Now, that being said, do you have good heat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very good heat.
If you have good heat, then you're okay.
And by the way,
go ahead.
Yeah. And while it was running, I checked to make sure there was warm fluid running through that hose, and there was. It took longer, but eventually I did feel warm coolant running through that hose. So.
What I will normally do, all right, to bleed a system. I'll put it in simple terms, right? We're going to be on a new simple kick here on the Car Doctor. Okay. go back to your O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tell them you want a coolant funnel. Tell them you want it's now clear. It used to be a yellow coolant funnel.
Oh.
It attaches to the radiator cap where the radiator sits. All right. And you fill it with coolant.
I asked them about that.
Okay. And run until it circulates and then let it sit overnight.
Okay.
And if you can raise the front of the vehicle up a little bit, put a little bit of an incline in it, okay? If the driveway's got a small incline, if you ever come to the shop one day, you'll see the one wall against the fence side, there's about a 15-degree incline. So we park cars there nose up. We leave the radiator caps off. We close the hood. We go home. We come back the next morning. The systems are all burped and bled. We're done. Air always finds its highest point. Yep. So, but the coolant funnel will help. So the coolant funnel will help that. All right, sir?
All right. Okay, will do. Well, thanks a lot, Ron. I sure appreciate it. And just want to say thanks for all the good work you do helping us backyard mechanics.
I'll tell you what, Bruce. This journey started so many years ago. I never dreamed it would get to this point. The podcasting thing is huge now. The terrestrial radio programs, we're in 131 or 32 markets now on terrestrial radio, and we're just growing all the time. And I just look at it and I say thank you to the big guy upstairs, and I come to work every day and I do the best I can do, and that's all you can do. So, but I'm glad to be here for you and everybody else. All right, sir?
Yeah. Thanks, Ron.
You're very welcome. You take good care. Let's pull over, take a pause, and when we come back, we'll go to Frank in New Mexico with his 86 Olds Cutlass. Let's pull over and take a pause, though, then I can give Frank some good quality time. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
He drives that way, but when it comes to fixing cars, Ron has car advice done right. 855-560-9900. Here's Ron.
You know, you guys always want to hear stories about the shop. I won't do it now because I want to get to Frank in New Mexico, but this hour, I got to tell you the story about the bird in the shop the other night, trying to get out of the shop at 5:45 on Thursday night. So that was the adventures in auto repair that you can have day to day. So right now, let's get to Frank in New Mexico. Frank, 86 Olds Cutlass, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Doc.
Yes,
great
sir.
Show as always.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, 86 Cutlass. We've talked about it before.
Sure.
But a question about the catalytic converter in my car. That little third side pipe coming off the middle of it, that comes from the air pump, correct?
Correct. That's the air tube.
Yeah. Okay, because we're putting in a straight pipe next week for a month or so. My muffler guy says, I think we ought to put that in. I said, I think it comes from the air pipe, yeah. So that's the correct procedure, yeah?
Yeah. Well, what you mean, attach that air pipe into the straight pipe?
Yes.
You're taking the cat out for what reason? Testing?
Because it's plugged. I know it's plugged. You just can't get hardly up over 40 miles an hour, and it's all the bad smells and all that, bad gas mileage. And I just know it is. takes me 5 days to get a Walker Cat in here. So we're going to put in a test pipe and let me run it for a month and get everything squared away. And
this is the car that had the this is the 307.
Correct.
And this car had the bad purge valve where it was pulling raw fuel about a year and a half, 2 years ago, right?
Well, that's what we thought at the time, but I think the cat was starting to go bad anyway. It passed its last emissions test, but then it's gotten progressively worse.
Right, but it didn't have a bad purge where it was pulled in raw fuel and you changed it and it fixed the rich running condition. Wasn't that this car?
Yeah, that's the one.
Right, so that raw fuel, depending upon how long it was like that, could very well have damaged the cat. The other thing to be aware of, and you could do this, you could do a vacuum test and see what manifold vacuum is at wide open throttle. You could do it that way so you don't have to take the cat off early. Maybe save yourself some steps. But you could also look at the fact of, do you have an issue with, manifold vacuum, number one, you could have a collapsed exhaust pipe.
Oh, the exhaust system is like 8 months old. We ran
a new pipe
from the cat back.
Because GM, you know, just when you thought you learned everything there was about cars in the 80s, GM decided to make some of their exhaust systems dual wall. So the inner wall would collapse, and you'd be looking at the pipe going, there's nothing wrong with that pipe. It's all, and you would, you know, then you would pull it down, and you would see it kind of peeled in, and it created a restriction, and that was your, because you would swear it was a cat, but it wasn't. So, but yeah, you're fine. Do it your way, and you'll be good for a couple of days, and then put the cat back on. All right.
That was good, that previous call where the guy tried the K-Seal, a miracle thing. I'm going to try it on my Rover when we bring it back to life this summer.
I tell you what.
I know it's got a blown head gasket.
You know, the K-Seal, it's phenomenal how well it works. It's to the point now where, and I said this to John Richter when we had him on the show last week or the week before, whenever we called him like that, I said, you know, can we just put it in the car? Can it hurt to be in the cooling system? If you have a problem, will it stay suspended? And he said, yeah, but, you know, I don't know that I want to go to that extreme yet, but I do want to keep a bottle of it in the glove compartment for cars that are traveling. If people are on the road, if youngsters are going off to college or they're taking trips, they get some kind of a coolant leak that's normally, except for a split hose or some catastrophic failure. I see it getting people out of trouble. I really do. So, it's worth having that bottle in the glove compartment. Frank, as always, I appreciate the call. And for everyone else, you know, you can find more information at kseal.com. Let's go over to George in Delaware, 98 Ranger, and some problems with the coolant temperature gauge. George, welcome aboard, sir. How can I help?
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Good, sir. What's going on?
All right. Well, I had to change all these coolant lines.
Okay.
In the last couple months, because the original parts were breaking.
Right.
And I did the last one last week that spiders off the other one down to where the water pump is. And all of a sudden, my temperature gauge don't work. And so I took the stuff apart and put a new thermostat in. I thought maybe the thermostat got stuck. And it's not pumped. The pump works, but I'm not getting the flow from the thermostat. Like, it's not open.
Okay, so, you know, is the system airbound? If you run the truck, is one hose hot, one hose cold?
No, they're both cold.
They're both cold?
Yes.
Okay, so when you drained the system down, how did you refill it?
With the 50-50.
No, did you... You know, a 3 liter, a 98 Ranger does not have an air bleed. You just poured 50-50 coolant into the radiator.
Right.
Okay. So I've got to believe that there, and then you probably capped the radiator, correct?
Right.
Okay. So I've got to believe the system's airbound. So now there's no coolant on the backside of the stat, or there's not enough coolant on the backside of the stat that it's going to warm up and cause the stat to open, allowing coolant to circulate. How long do you let it run, George?
Well, I just let it run for about 10 minutes to go out and check it because I'm afraid to drive it.
Right.
You know? And it still was cold, so I turned it off. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to call the car doctor. I've been wanting to call you. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
I appreciate that. Do you like buying tools, George?
Excuse me?
Do you like buying tools?
Yeah. I love it.
Why not, right?
I build homes for a living.
So why don't we go down to, you got an O'Reilly Auto Parts near you?
I'm not familiar, but I'll
look around or go out online, go to O'ReillyAuto.com. Second time this hour, second time this show that I'm talking about this, but there's a company out there, I think it's Lyle, and I know O'Reilly Auto Parts carries them, is I call it the coolant funnel. It originally was a yellow funnel, but this one will be clear now because somebody got smart and said, if we make the funnel clear, you can actually be working on another car two bays down and look to see if the coolant has burped. Basically, what it does is it's an extension of the radiator cap, and it raises the high point of the cooling system up high enough so that air can burp out if the radiator just happens to sit lower than the rest of the vehicle. On a Ranger, I don't believe that's the case, but the funnel does make life easier, all right? And basically what it does is there'll be a bunch of adapters in the box. You find the right adapter for your radiator, fill the system, fill the funnel up until it's about halfway full, run the vehicle, monitor temperature, all right, squeeze the hoses, and you'll just kind of massage the air out of it. You'll see it start to bubble up out of the funnel, okay? And then eventually you're going to see it get to the point where it's either going to burp and the funnel's going to drop into the coolant from the funnel's going to drop into the cooling system, or you're going to see it start to bubble up. Shut the truck off. You're going to have a little spillover. Make sure you have a pan handy. And the air is going to bubble up. Let the vehicle sit with the funnel on, all right, as it goes through this warm-up cool-down cycle. And you might have to do this a couple of times. And basically, it's like trying to bleed baseboard in a house. You ever bleed baseboard heating?
Yeah, right?
It's the same idea. You've just got air trapped somewhere, and you just got to try and massage it out. That coolant tube that you changed probably sits much, if I remember right, it runs down one side of the engine block and it sits low on the block. Yeah. Yeah. You've got air trapped in that tube and now you've got to get it to purge up. The other thing that might help is, do you have drive on ramps when you work on the truck?
Yeah.
You know, if you could drive the truck on the ramp so that it's nose up, it might help to dislodge the air upwards, changing the angle. Okay. But you know, I don't want to, you know, let's not do that first. Let's do the funnel first. Try cycling it a couple of times, massage the hoses, and then leave it on the ramps. If you have to leave it on the ramps overnight, chalk the wheels, you know, or put the parking brake on so it's safe. Keep everybody away from it. Let it sit there like that. Leave some coolant in the funnel. The nice thing about the funnel is when it does burp, the level is going to change, and you'll know you got some air out of the system, and then you can start it and go through the cycle again. You've got air trapped in that system. That's why you've got what you've got. Call me back if you need more, George, but if not, get out to your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. I'm back right after this. Don't go away. Tom Ray found love on a two-way street, but while he was out in the middle of the street, he got run over, and his wife was actually the nurse.
My mother actually told me to go out and play in traffic constantly, so.
How'd that work out?
Well, you know me, so.
How are you today, Tom?
Good. How about you?
I'm good. So we're rolling along for the last hour and a half.
I know, and all of a sudden we got all these calls.
Yeah,
but, you know, we had a caller before. You were talking about, you know, teaching kids about cars.
Yeah.
And, you know, real brief, my son, I had bought him one of those battery jumpers for Christmas, and he was at a gas station about a month ago, and the guy got out of the car, ran in, came back, click, click, click. So he walks over with the jump starters, his need a jump, and the guy looked at him like he had two heads because he's never seen one of these. Hooked it up, boom, car fired over, and the guy was like, wow.
Well, and you know what, Tom, to the point, and then we'll move along, is I think people are amazed when young people know something about a car. And that, you know, like to be able to jump start or change a flat or just, it's a very different world. It makes me feel old some days. I still remember going upstate New York on the New York State Thruway. Real quick story. I know we're busy. And I was dating my wife at the time. We were, you know, in the dating stage, and we were with a bunch of kids, and we were going away upstate for a Saturday off. I wasn't doing radio then. And there was a car broken down with a flat on the side of the New York State Thruway. I said, come on, let's go. We'll change the tire. Like, how hard could this be? We're, you know, 18 years old, living large and loving life, right? We get out, we change the flat. He was 82. She was 79. And they were on their way to their honeymoon, and she looked over at us and she smiled and winked. She says, oh, good, at least we can get to the hotel tonight. And I never forgot that image in my mind. But we did the right thing. You know, it's, you don't see that today. Nobody's changing flat tires for little old men and ladies out on the road, except maybe me, because I'll be a little old man soon anyway, or I already am.
No, but you know, and my daughter, the vet student, had a problem. She brought her car in and she called me before she did. She had already done the troubleshooting, and it was like, so it didn't surprise her when the guy told her what it needed, and she called me just to bounce it off me to make sure. And I went, "Yeah, you're done. Just,
you know,
don't call me. You're fine."
There's power in the confidence of knowing, because if you know what's wrong with the car, you know what's wrong with a lot of other things, because you possess common sense and confidence. And I think that's important. Let's get back to the phones, Tom. We're gonna be in trouble at the end of the hour. Let's go to Fred in North Carolina, 13 F250. Fred, welcome aboard, sir. How can I help? Ron and Anian at your service.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ron, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, so the F-250, I got out of the vehicle, I shut it off, had to get right back in, turned it on, and my seat would not adjust. None of the controls worked. However, the automatic adjustment, the memory adjustment, did work. So I know the motors are working,
right.
But I can't adjust it manually. Now, the mirrors work. So I changed the fuse out anyway, the 30-amp fuse under the hood. Still nothing. My passenger side works. I just can't figure it. I took a cursory look underneath to check the plugs, but I didn't really see anything. I suppose I could go back and unplug them and plug them back in, but I can't think of anything else to do.
Well,
and
understand, Fred, that driver's seat in that truck, because you've got, that's a 10-way power seat, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So you've got more technology in that seat than they had in Apollo 11 that went to the moon.
Exactly.
So, you know, that thing's a spaceship all by itself. The honest answer is, believe it or not, the first place I would go is I'd scan for codes. Can a computer talk to the driver's seat module? There's a module under that seat that runs the computer, that is the computer that runs the seat. Can a scan tool talk to that seat? Can it? And this isn't on the OBD2 bus. This is on the vehicle year, make, model, manufacturer side of life. And can a scan tool talk to that DSM? And then if it can you bring up the DSM? And what sort of data is there? Chances are a good, you know, if they're using something factory level scan tool, you'll be able to see, you know, push the switch. Do you see a change of state? On, off? Yes, no. You know, that's what scan tools do today. It's not just for pulling engine codes. We use them for fixing power seats. Now, you know, if you want to just, you know, have a, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but if you want to try this just as a little bit of a, you know, knee-jerk reaction, find the driver's seat module. It's down under the seat on the left side, more to the left side. You could identify it through wiring color and unplug the driver's seat module. Unplug the module, count to 10. All right, and plug it back in. See if rebooting it makes a difference. I don't think it will, because you said it works from the auto adjust position, but you know, it would probably be my last non-technical way to do this, short of, you know, putting a scan tool on it. I have had some success on certain cars, Ford and Chrysler among them. We're doing a dead boot, as we call it. Will, you know, now it could also be erasing information, but you know, it's, I can't tell you how many times we see problems with computers where the dead boot fixes it, or at least gets us in a direction. So,
well, a little added information, just prior, about 15 minutes prior to this happening, I disconnected both of the positives on the batteries to reset my radio Bluetooth. It gets stuck about every 6 months, and the only way to reset it is to reset, basically.
Right. Yeah, you've got
from scratch.
And I, you know, when you listen, if you can get that to happen again when you take it to the Ford dealer for diagnosis, mention that to them, because this could very well need what we call this probably has sync one or two.
Yes, sync one.
Sync one. So sync one is it's about as high tech as comparing a flashlight to a candle. It's just not what I would call really. You know, it probably has more than a few software updates that could help it. And to that point, the driver's seat could have a software update as well. But it could also need something along the lines of maybe an APIM, accessory protocol interface module, you know, which is when you touch the screen. The screen taps get reported to the APIM. The APIM decides what is it that Fred wants me to do, and then it does it. So the APIM is the workhorse to the screen. You know, the APIM is the computer that the monitor screen you see is being displayed upon. So, you know, it's technology, man. I will say this. Stop unplugging things, because you're going to make things worse in terms of losing information, losing data, right? Yeah, and you know, wait till you end up spiking a computer, and then that's a whole horse of another color. So, but take those steps. Let me know what happens. I'm here for you if you need me. Let's get over to Earl, O2 Caravan, and some issues here real quick with a battery. Earl, welcome aboard, sir. How can I help you?
Yes, Ron. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you.
I have a 2002 Dodge Caravan. And you had a car battery expert on one of your shows a couple weeks ago, and he recommended topping off your battery with a charge every once in a while. I've been told by a Chrysler trained mechanic not to disconnect the battery if you can help it, because it was bad for the transmission brain box. What is the proper way to charge or top off the battery?
Well, and the right answer is both ways. But in all fairness, you know, the issue is with battery chargers, do you have a good enough set of clamps on the charger that it can get over the mouth of the top of the terminal and get a good grip? If it can, then leave it connected. A slow charge is better than a fast charge. You know, one of the nice things, one of the nicest pieces of equipment I've acquired over the last year is from Associated Equipment. They've got some battery chargers on the marketplace now that are just outright amazing. And the latest model, and I don't recall the model number, but it's actually a liquid crystal display screen. Hook it up, turn it on, call up the battery you're charging, tell it how many amps, and it will charge the battery based on the electrical state of the battery. So sometimes it charges fast, sometimes it charges slow. It's really amazing stuff. If you're using what I suspect is an older, you know, garage-style, do-it-yourselfer kind of battery charger, a slow trickle charge or a slow low-amperage charge in the 5 to 8 amp range, you know, over a 45-minute hour period, if you've got vent caps, take the vent caps off, would be the proper way to do it. Terminals connected. Yes, disconnecting the battery will create memory loss issue on the trans and the adaptives, and then it has to be relearned. So doing it connected is a much better way to do it. Earl, I appreciate the call. Good luck to you and yours, and I hope you survive the snow up there, upstate New York, and we'll talk to you again real soon. I'm Ron Anani and the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Time's running short. Ron and Annie at your service. Let's get to Nick in Virginia. Nick, welcome aboard, sir. What are we working on?
We're working on a 2009 Chevy Astro cargo van.
They didn't make an Astro van in 2009. You sure about the year? I think the last year for an Astro was 05 or 06.
Oh, no. It's a Chevy Astro.
You have a 2009 Chevy Astro?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think they made that.
It's a cargo van.
Okay.
And anyway, it broke down a couple years ago. It's been sitting. I was told by the tow driver that it needed a fuel pump. It seemed like it's, since I had replaced that fuel pump a year before, it was the same symptom. So I assume it needs a fuel pump.
Okay.
And I was just wondering, how hard of a job would that be to do that job? And can you do it without dropping the tank?
No, to my knowledge, the tank has to come down. But now, that's not to say, have you diagnosed this at all? Or are you just going on the tow truck driver's word?
Well, I The problem is it's been setting, so it was the driver's word. But like I said, I had gone through the same problem a year before. I had it replaced a year on a trip.
Right.
And I don't know if they rebuilt it or they just got a new one. They charged me for a new one.
So, well, there's no such thing as rebuilding. It would be that they might have replaced just the electrical portion of the pump assembly because it's all modular. It would be a pump on a pickup tube with a fuel level sender as a complete, they call that a module. Now, maybe their pump went bad, but maybe this is electrical. There should be a gray wire leading up to that fuel pump, which is the power signal, and I would surely want to diagnose it. It's a simple diagnosis. Find the fuel pump relay in the underhood fuse box and make sure when you turn the key on without cranking that fuel pump relay clicks. And then if you have voltage at that gray wire leading down to the pump, do you have ground? You know, this could also be, and I'm not disbelieving you that this is an Astro. They didn't make an Astro in 09. I know this. This has to be an Express van. We've got to be talking about an Express. And if it's an Express van and it's an 09, take a look under the driver's door where the frame rail sits. There should be a ground strap there. Those ground straps got corroded over time because they were exposed. They were in a bad spot. They got corroded over time, and they would fall apart, literally. You'd see high resistance. You would see them start to fail, and all of a sudden it would give the symptom of a bad – it would see the symptom of a bad fuel pump, and in reality it was just a bad ground strap. So, take a look at that. And
so that's a visual diagnosis, or
yes, sir,
is that has to be done with a plugged in?
No, that's a visual. That's a visual. For that matter, provide an alternate ground. Take a long ground lead. Go from the gas tank at a good connection, or from the ground leg of the fuel pump off the ground off the fuel pump module, and ground it right to the negative battery post. Do you have a good connection? And if you do, then, you know, I'm going to say that you're okay, and you can avoid having to put a fuel pump in it. But first thing, no wise guy intended. Let's just make sure that this really is an Astro or the year, because I got a feeling this isn't. I got a feeling this is an Express, or it's an 06 Astro van, or 05. I think that was the last year. Good luck to you, Nick. I'm here if you need more information. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor, coming back right after this. I tell you what, this song is killing me too. Tom, you got to cut this out. Let's go to Benito in Louisiana. Help me. Benito, how can I help Ron and Annie at your service, sir?
How you doing, sir?
Good. What's going on?
I bought a 2007 Jeep Commander.
Okay.
With a 5.7 Hemi in it.
Right.
It had a little rumble in it. And after I bought it, I got to listening to it, and it sounded more like a knock.
All right.
I tried to have it rebuilt. A lot of people don't want to mess with it because they say it takes special tools. So I've been looking at motors, and motors starting anywhere from 3,000 to 7,000 brand new.
Right.
Just a block, you know.
Let's forget about the replacement engine for a second. All right, just for a second. Okay. What kind of shape is the rest of the vehicle in?
Excellent. No dents, no nothing. It's
okay.
Loaded. I mean, you got all the bells and whistles.
How many miles on it?
220-something thousand.
Okay.
On that moment.
So, original trans?
Yes.
All right. And the question you have to ask yourself, whether you pay $3,000, $7,000, $10,000, or any point in between, if and when the trans fails, you're going to stick a trans in it?
I got a buddy who rebuilds transmission. He'll rebuild it for me if I just buy the parts.
Okay. All right. Then, knowing that, there are some complications. There are some very unique things about that Hemi, particularly in the valve train area, that make rebuilding them very specific and a little bit more on the complicated side. Have you mm-hmm. talked to the local Chrysler dealer to see what a Chrysler over-the-counter crate motor would run?
$7,000.
Okay. And what kind of warranty comes with it?
Like a 3-year warranty.
Right. I think it's 3 years. And is it 3 years 50 or 3 years 100,000 miles?
Right. 3 years 50.
Right. You know, because there's three choices here, Benito. All right. It's the local engine builder in your hometown who can do it, who's got a good reputation, who's going to stand behind it and be there if and when there's a problem. It's going to be a company that does nationwide service like Jasper, a Jasper engine for it, or the dealer, the manufacturer. And, you know, if you find out that the difference between Jasper and Chrysler is $2,000's not a lot of money because there are some complications to that. If you're in it for the long haul, I say put the Chrysler in it. At least you know what you're getting, and they've got a great warranty in the event should you need one, because that's the big question. Let me know what you end up doing. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.